Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the Pharisees, I'm going away, and you will look for me. But you will die in your sin. When I'm going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, He is not going to kill himself, is he? Because he said, where I am going, you cannot come. He said to them, you belong to what is below. I belong to what is above. You belong to this world, but I do not belong to this world. That is why I told you that you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, what I told you from the beginning, I have much to say about you in condemnation. But the one who sent me is true. What I heard from him, I tell the world. They did not realize that he was speaking to them of the Father. Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will realize that I am. That I do nothing on my own. But I say only what the Father taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He's not left me alone. Because I always do what is pleasing to him. Because he spoke this way, many came to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. When I was your age many, many years ago, and I say many years ago, this would be more than 50 years ago, there was a very famous singer, and it was a woman that actually sang with her brother. And she probably had the most beautiful voice, I think, maybe in the world back in 1970. And the name of the girl, her name was Karen Carpenter. Karen Carpenter. And she sang what is called classical rock and roll. Okay? Classical, not hard rock or AC/DC or acid or metallic, but rather classical. I remember as a teenager just admiring her voice and her song, and she actually sang with her brother. So it was a brother and sister duet. And I learned that she had a sickness that many teenage girls have. It's called, maybe you've heard of it, anorexia. Have you ever heard the word anorexia, or maybe that's a big college word? None of you, okay. Anorexia means this, is that you're convinced that you're fat, okay? Gordita, okay? You're convinced that you're fat. Even though you might be as skinny as a rake, but you're convinced you're fat. So what do? You eat less and less and less, and then your stomach shrinks. Okay, your stomach, if you don't eat, then your stomach actually shrinks. And then you have to be fed intravenously, okay? And then with a tube. Then you no longer eat, then you actually die of hunger and thirst. So she died of anorexia. She was probably about 40, maybe 42, the age of your mom, probably, more or less. She died of anorexia. She starved herself. Given that I'm with a highly intelligent group of teenagers this afternoon, thank you, Father, what do you think spiritual anorexia is? We have the elite group of parents here, huh? What do you think spiritual anorexia? Karen Carpenter, same with her brother. Spiritual anorexia is when we're starving spiritually. And I'd say probably most Catholics are suffering from spiritual anorexia. So if you want to be strong physically, hopefully you all want to, there are three important things. You have to get enough rest. You have to get exercise. On Sunday, I swam for about an hour. I swim laps back and forth, because swimming, it's good for you. And then you have to make sure that you have good eating habits. So if you have good eating habits, you have good exercise, you get enough rest, well, those are three good ways to maintain good physical health. Now, what's more important, your body or your soul? Derek, what do you think? Okay, our body is important, but our soul is even more important than our body, because our body is going to die one day. Our body is going to die one day. But our soul, here's a big word, it's immortal. Your soul is going to live forever, either upstairs or downstairs. Hopefully upstairs, huh? So let's talk about, what are ways that you can have a strong soul? First is this. If you get sick, you got to go to the doctor. Go to the doctor. And then you've probably all been to the doctor at least once in your life. You're teenagers. You probably had some sickness where you had to go to the doctor. What's the doctor going to do? Well, he's going to check your weight and your pulse, as well as your heartbeat, and then maybe do some x-rays to check out what's wrong with you physically. Then maybe he'll give you a shot. Maybe he'll give you some medicine, maybe some therapy. You might even have to have an operation, huh? And that brings you back to health. Do you know what sickness of the soul is? Sickness of the soul is when we commit sins. That's right. Sin is sickness of the soul. So thanks be to God, there's a doctor in the house. His name is Dr. Jesus Christ. Amen? There's a doctor in the house. And that's why we all get sick spiritually, and we all go to the doctor, and the doctor is Jesus Christ present in the confessional, right? In the confession, you have a doctor. That doctor is Jesus Christ through the person of the priest. What is the specific effect of confession? What medicine and the doctor is to your body, confession is to your soul. Got that? So what medicine and the doctor is to your body, confession is to your soul. So going to confession, that heals our soul of our sicknesses. Amen? Then we have to nourish our bodies. Or rather, we have to nourish our souls. How do we do that? Well, right now. I'm nourishing you in two ways now. Two ways. Right now, I am preaching to you the Word of God. So right now, I'm filling your minds with what? The bread of the Word of God is going to your mind now. So right now, you're learning about who God is through the preaching of the gospel and the priest that's preaching to you. But what about we have to nourish our souls? And that's what Holy Communion is. So if you don't go to Mass and you don't receive Communion, you're going to be like Karen Carpenter in the spiritual life. You're going to have spiritual anorexia, which is even worse. Because our soul is much more important than our body. How many Catholics do you know that are suffering spiritual anorexia? Probably 85% of your relatives, right? They've walked away from church and the sacraments. So in a short time, all of you are going to see the great miracle. On Saturday, I gave a retreat to children as well as their parents preparing for First Holy Communion. And part of our retreat was we showed the movie Il Gran Milagro, The Greatest Miracle. Il Gran Milagro. What is Il Gran Milagro? It's when I lift up the host, you're going to see a miracle. You are. That piece of bread, it's going to turn into God. Wow. You are the most privileged teenagers in California this afternoon. Amen? Right, Mom and Dad? Well, they don't agree, but you agree with me, don't you, right? You're the most privileged teenagers in California right now at 4 o'clock in beautiful downtown Hawaiian Gardens, huh? You're going to look at Jesus in my hands. But the greater miracle is he's going from my hands into your heart. Wow. Wow. Doesn't that stagger your imagination? You think about that? From my hands into your very heart. You're going to have the most healthy soul in the world when you receive Jesus Christ. However, we're probably maybe about, who knows, about 200 here. The graces we receive depend upon our own disposition. You know, someone could receive communion and they actually leave church worse because they receive it in mortal sin, right? So you could receive communion, you actually leave the church worse than when you came in because you committed a really, really, really bad sin and you didn't go to confession first. So communion is, as Paul says, for your condemnation. That's scary, isn't it? Right? Kind of scary, right? So we want to make sure that we receive Jesus in Holy Communion with great, great love, with purity of intention, with great faith, and with great confidence. I'm going to tell you an anecdote that happened many years ago. One occasion, my mother was teaching confirmation. My mom was teaching. And the students were pretty rebellious. And one of the students said, Mrs. Broome! Mrs. Broome, I don't get anything out of Mass. You know what my mom said? You don't get anything out of it because you don't bring anything to it. Now, what a catechist, huh? So you got a priest as a son. Here you go. What a great response. You don't get anything out of it because you don't bring anything to it. You go to a birthday party. Ever been to a birthday party? You go to the birthday party and you enter in there and you say, where's the cake and ice cream? Huh? You're a rude dude. My little cattle. You go to the birthday party, you have to bring a gift, right? Hello? Anyone home? Hey, you bring a gift? You bring a gift? You don't expect to receive a gift, rather you bring the gift to the birthday party. The same thing we can say about Mass. In this Mass, you bring your own intentions and you place the intention on the altar right here. Sometimes I have so many intentions, I think the altar is going to cave in. Really? You know the intentions I have for this Mass? I'll tell you. First of all, I'm praying for all of you. Say, thank you, Father. Didn't hear anyone. What? Well, you should say thank you, right? I'm praying for them. Are you happy, parents? I'm praying for them. That deserves an attitude of gratitude, right? I'm praying for them. Second is, on Saturday, the second year confirmation students, they're going to be confirmed. I taught all of them last year. Are they ready? Más o menos. Yo pienso menos que más. Más o menos, menos que más. So, I'm going to be praying for them in this Mass. I am. Then also, over the past 3 weeks, we've heard more than 500 general confessions. That's a lot, isn't it? In my programs. I'm praying for all those people. And also, I'm going to pray for Father Antolini, the older priest. It's his birthday. It's his birthday on Friday. He's going to be 91. 91, you're about 3 years older than your parents here, right? Okay. Well, at least you feel like 88 at times, right? And also, I'm going to be praying for one of my brothers. It's his birthday on the same birthday of Father Antolini, my brother Jim. I'm going to pray for him, too. So what I'm doing is I'm loading the altar. I'm loading the altar with so many intentions. And if you saw the movie El Gran Milagro, the angel said, that person doesn't get anything out of Mass because the person is not offering anything. You have to offer something on the Mass. Place on the altar something right now. Anything. And the more offerings, the better. You can place a million offerings on the altar and the altar is not going to cave in. It's not going to happen. All the offerings in the world, place on the altar. That's called the offertory. Then I'm going to lift up the host, and that's called the consecration. Then when we receive Holy Communion, that's communion. Those are the three essential parts of the Mass. Offertory, consecration, and communion. Now most of you come from Mexican families. Did you come here walking 3 miles, or did you come in a car? Do you know how far Juan Diego walked? 11 to 12 miles to church, and then another 11 to 12 miles he walked all the way home. About 25 miles, and he was 57 years old. Huh? You hear that? What a sacrifice. Why did he walk close to 25 miles? Because he wanted to learn his Catholic faith in catechism, and he wanted to receive Holy Communion. Okay, one last idea. When you die, and we don't know when we're going to die, parents as well as children, I'm going to tell you one of the questions that Jesus is going to ask you and me and your children. Are you listening? Jesus is going to ask you, how often did you receive Holy Communion, and how much love did you have in your heart when you received me in Holy Communion? That will probably be the first question he's going to ask all of you as well as me. You heard me, right? I'm making a prophecy now. When you die, Jesus will say, how often did you receive me Holy Communion, and how much love was in your heart? If you can say, I received you very often, and every time I received you with greater love, Jesus will say, welcome home to heaven. Amen.